Our Old Testament reading appointed for today is from the book of Ruth. Ruth is a significant figure in part because she is both a foreign woman, a Moabite, and yet she is also one of the ancestors of our Lord Jesus Christ, as she ends up marrying a man by the name of Boaz from Bethlehem, who also was a forerunner of Christ. We read from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law to return to the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you unto her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have 100 husbands this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. A second reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we read verses 1 through 13. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1121. And we read Luke 17, beginning at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. We just learned something about biblical thankfulness. In fact, the English word for thank actually is very closely related to the word for think. Think about it. Think and thank. They're very similar words, at least in terms of sound. And they actually came from the same root word back in English hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But biblically, in the Old Testament, there is no word that can describe just feeling thankful. You always had to express it, which is not what happened in our gospel lesson today for at least 9 of the 10 lepers who were healed. And there might be a clue as to why 9 didn't return in the verses just prior to our lesson for today. They were your gospel lesson for last week. I'd like to read them again, though. "Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" And then comes the account of the healing of the 10 lepers nine of which did not return to say thanks. Perhaps because they didn't feel unworthy of what had happened to them. See, nine of them were Jews. And Jesus, of course, was a Jewish Messiah. Perhaps they expected that if he could heal, who more so than they should be the recipients of what he had done. But one of them was a Samaritan. And Samaritans and Jews, if you remember your Sunday school lessons, didn't get along. In fact, Samaritans were so despised by Jews, if you had to travel from Jerusalem to Galilee, you would go out of your way to and take a longer route just to not set foot on Samaritan ground. That Samaritan who was healed probably expected that he would be left out. And yet he receives the same healing that the others received. And he alone returns to our Lord to give thanks to him. There's something about unworthiness that links to being thankful. How many of you got a paycheck or a Social Security check or some kind of check this last month? How many of you wrote a thank you letter to the federal government if you got a Social Security check? Probably not. If you got a paycheck, how many of you ran up to your boss and said, "Thank you for paying me for all the work that I did last week?" I doubt that happens. You see, that's because you think you deserve what you got. We are not grateful for things that we're supposed to get. It's when we receive things that we don't believe we deserve. That's when our hearts begin to overflow with thankfulness. And we want to express ourselves to the one who has bestowed upon us wonderful and undeserved gifts. You know, we're not living in a world that seems very thankful these days. There's a lot of bitterness out there, a lot of anger, but not a lot of gratitude. Not a lot of people expressing one to another in the grocery store, at work, "Wow, thanks for doing what you've done." And in a world where true thankfulness, biblically speaking, is lacking toward one another, it shouldn't be surprising that true gratitude and thankfulness to God, not just some kind of warm, fuzzy feeling in the heart, but for instance, doing what you're doing today, coming to worship God, coming to express your gratitude for all that he has done. That's happening less and less in people's lives. Because we as a people sometimes forget, and we really don't deserve those things that we have. Now, regularly when we come to church here, we do confess that. "I, poor, miserable sinner," as we've said so many times. And what do we deserve? Temporal and eternal punishment. That's what we come here and confess before we respond and give thanks. You know, sometimes we don't even feel that way. Have you ever been angry with God for something going on in your life? Have you ever thought in your heart, you know, God, this shouldn't have happened to me. I go to church, I do this, I do that. I don't deserve this. And sometimes, just like the world, we become angry with God Himself. Because we start to believe like the rest of the world seems to believe, that what we have is something we deserve, something that we've earned. You know, it's interesting how language has changed in our culture from a language of, if you will, mercy to a language of deserving. If the government provided help for somebody, let's say 150 years ago, what would it have been called? If there was, you know, some tragedy and the government stepped in and gave people money that they hadn't worked for, what would we call that 100 years ago? Charity. What is it called today? Entitlements. It's a different kind of thinking. It goes on in our world. We have this sense that we are entitled to good things, forgetting what we really are. And that even if we, if you will, do all the things that God wants us to do, does He need to thank us for that? We who are His servants, simply because we did what He commanded? No. So also when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done what was our duty. Thankfulness. It isn't something that you simply feel. It's something you express. And it comes from a heart who understands what we are. We are unworthy servants. And far from doing what we are commanded to do on a quite regular basis, we fail to do that which we have been commanded to do. Temporal and eternal punishment, that's what we deserve. But God is rich in mercy. When we didn't deserve it, He sent forth His Son to take the punishment that we deserve by our unrighteous acts and to give to us that which we don't deserve, an eternal life with Him in a glorious heaven filled with everything we need, given to us without cost, simply that we might be as God's children from this time forth and forevermore. No, we didn't deserve it. But when we recognize that, and we come to God and praise Him for all those undeserved blessings, that, my friends, is the essence of faith. And is that faith that makes us well in this life and in the life to come. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.